In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week, I had the chance to go down to the ranch for the clergy lady conference and then the priest retreat. One of the things that happens is that I get to hear other people preach, and if you think you're critical of my sermons, preachers are especially critical of other preachers. And sometimes I wonder when I'm listening to other people preach, what's the point? Where are they going with this? Were there multiple points? What do any of these themes have to do with one another? And I don't want that to happen with this morning's sermon, so I'm offering a disclaimer at the beginning. I might touch on some different things, but I hope it all ties together at the very end. But this might be one of those sermons where it's less obvious where it's headed, but I hope that's not the case. Anyway, this Clergy Deity Conference that we had, which is something that we do annually in the metropolis, the National Clergy Laity Congress happens every other year. But this was the best one I've ever been to anywhere. And the reason for that is we've gotten away from spending hours and hours and hours talking about the budget and the finances and things. We have to deal with those things, but it's done rather expeditiously. As a matter of fact, the priest who serves the monastery down there walked in during the budget discussion, which was kind of unusual. And I said, what, is this a booster shot to remind you why you're serving at the monastery? And he goes, no, I came at the wrong time. I said, I'll text you when the right time is. And the right time was to hear another one of the presentations from a relatively young priest named Father Evan Armitas, who serves in Loveland, Colorado. And that was the focal point, if you will, of the Clergy Laity Conference, was to hear him speak and then to discuss what he was saying. The theme of the conference, the theme of his talks was reclaiming the Great Commission. And Father Evan knows something about this because he went to Loveland after having been an assistant. He went to Loveland to start a church that he started with 6 people. And today has hundreds of people. It's an Orthodox church that has gone from non-existence to being a very flourishing, powerful community. And along the way, Father Evan has made it his passion to learn about leadership and organization and church renewal and church growth, etc., etc. So it's fascinating to hear him talk. And really beautiful. And it had a tremendous effect on everyone who was there, from the most senior to the most junior. Extremely motivating. And then we stayed for the clergy retreat, and the thoughts there were offered by Dr. Al Rossi, who I think is retired, but had been a professor at St. Vladimir's Seminary. He's a therapist, an Orthodox Christian. He wrote the book Becoming a Healing Presence, if you're familiar with that. But he had a chance to speak to the clergy and to challenge us, to be more silent, more aware. This is one of his big themes, is finding time for silence and meditation every day, prayer every day, quiet prayer. And all of that comes on the heels of a project I've shared with at least some of you that's been going on for almost a year now in the metropolis, and that is the testing and then formation of clergy koinonia groups. And these are groups of priests that meet regionally to discuss life, matters of faith, but matters of substance. And it is not group therapy per se, but it is certainly not somebody coming and presenting a paper either. And it has begun to already change the nature of the clergy here in the metropolis. And I share those things with you because God is at work in the metropolis of San Francisco. And we thank Him for that. The truth of the matter is many metropolises are shrinking. Our metropolis is not, and there's a reason for that. And no place is perfect, no person is perfect. You can find any layperson, any hierarch, any priest, and find something wrong about him. But the truth is, there's a lot more good than not good that's happening here. And I think that's something here at Holy Trinity that we know a little bit about as well, because God is at work in Holy Trinity. He's at work in our lives, and I know that as I consider the time I spend with all of you individually or in a group, and He's at work in our church. Father Evan, in one of his talks, was talking about, and this was one of his great themes, is how to shape and change the culture of a church. And his list of things are, we do it by addressing the spiritual life of the church, by integrating, by combining the gospel in people's lives, by building relationships and building the community, and by putting a good organization into place. And those things, he says, will lead to transforming the culture of a church. And then he went on to tell us it takes about 7 years to change the culture of a church. And people who attempt it succeed 7% of the time. So that's quite something. And if one considers the state of Holy Trinity in 2019 and counts backwards about 7 years, I guess he's about right. And honestly, it feels pretty good to beat the odds. And if we look at how it is that we've taken this beautiful church and really made the culture even healthier, it's because we've addressed all of these things, the spiritual matters, and challenging one another to live out the gospel in our lives. And we've built up relationships and have ministries deliberately oriented towards community building. And even with regard to organization, we are attempting to do more and more things to optimize the human resources we have here in the parish, and then to add to our staff. We've recently brought on somebody part-time to manage our communications and our the way we express ourselves to the outside world, and to help organize our ministries a bit. And it's already we're seeing fruit from that. Now, these characteristics of spiritual renewal and gospel in life and relationships and community building and organization, they actually fit into Great Lent a little bit. I think a whole lot, actually. And as we stand here on the threshold of Great Lent, you would consider that, right? Great Lent challenges us to grow spiritually. One of the things that we hope everyone does during Great Lent is call their spiritual father or email their spiritual father or text their spiritual father and make time for confession. That's very important. Great Lent challenges us to integrate the gospel in our life, particularly when we do things we hope during Great Lent that bring changes to our life such that we're not going to church and then coming home and watching something vile on TV. We try to live a life that's a little bit more calm and Christ-centered. Certainly, Great Lent is a time for relationships and community building because we're here together a lot worshiping. And one of the great ways the churches build community is to be together side by side in the pews worshiping God. And even Lent has an organizational aspect to it because the services are laid out for us. The church tells us what services to do on what days, how to do them. It's up to us to conform to them. And all of this starts tonight, really starts tonight. The preview, if you will, of Great Lent is Forgiveness Vespers. Because how can one begin Great Lent without having forgiven one's brother or sister? And that's why this service is so important. And quite frankly, that's why I'm very glad we're doing it here as a parish as opposed to a regional forgiveness service this year. During Forgiveness Vespers, we will obviously chant hymns and read prayers as we do during most Vespers services. There are hymns and prayers that are specific to the theme of the evening. We will change the altar cloth from bright into dark colors. And then at the end of the service, we will line up and literally ask forgiveness of one another. It's a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. And lest any of us make a mistake, the way that one gets forgiveness is you have to ask for it. And it's important. It's important for us to ask forgiveness of one another. Now, this morning's readings, which again I think tie in ultimately, I hope, to everything I'm trying to get to today. This morning's readings are perfect for this last Sunday, this Cheese Fair Sunday, this Forgiveness Sunday, this day before Great Lent. Just a few words from the Gospel. The Lord said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. And then he goes on to tell us how to fast, when you fast. And so there are two very clear messages this morning. Forgive and fast. And then St. Paul, in this morning's epistle reading, reminds us that salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. That's right. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. It's nearer to us now because we're getting older, that's for sure. But it's nearer to us now because we are, I hope, growing in our relationship with Christ, which brings us closer to salvation. And yes, since Great Lent starts tomorrow, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. This Great Lent is one more Great Lent, and therefore we are nearer to salvation in 2019 than we were in 2018, than in 2017, than in 2016. Now, I mentioned last night before the crab feed that as I consider the life of this church, we've reached a point of stability and health that I know that many parishes only dream about. But the question becomes, what are we going to be in the future? And I've talked about this with you as a congregation and with the parish council a good bit, and I will continue to do that. My personal suspicion as I see how things are unfolding is I think that we've plateaued a bit here so that we can take care of our deferred maintenance issues. And those are important. Though sitting in a warm church is much different than sitting in a cold church, and having roofs that don't leak as we systematically work on our roofs will replace the carpeting. And on and on and on. We're doing things that we didn't have the opportunity to do in the past, but now we'll do them. And I think that we need to do that to prepare for the next phase in the life of this parish. And so I think that's what's happening now. But in the meantime, I want to use this Great Lent personally to prepare myself. And as I pray and as I fast during Lent, I'm really going to be praying about what is it God's calling us to do. Because I don't have that answer. God does. And I'm praying that he will reveal it to us in his time and his way. But that is what I really will do. And I want to acquire more holiness in my life by the grace of God. Because I know that the holier I am as a pastor, the holier the church will be. And goodness knows I've got a long way to go in acquiring holiness. And so as we come to the end of this sermon, my request, my encouragement to everybody here is, how about using this time in the life of our church, this time in the liturgical cycle of the Orthodox Church, to build on the many good things that are happening here at this church. To build on the fact that this is a church of healthy people and where people get healthier being here. To build on the many blessings that God has given us. And in absolute paradoxical Orthodox fashion, we build on those things by fasting. We build on those things by humbling ourselves. We build on those things by surrendering ourselves to God's plan. So very simply, dear brothers and sisters, might we all please take advantage of the fact that Great Lent begins tonight and then tomorrow, and to come to the services, pray, fast, come to confession, and get started with all of this on the right foot tonight, and make some time to gather here together again at 5 p.m. for Forgiveness Vespers.